Okay, good morning, everyone. This is the Local Government of the Future Subcommittee of the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations. It is Tuesday, April 25th, 2023, and I'm Brendan Sharkey, the chairman of the ACIR, and I'm joined by our vice chair, John Felchek. We have a pretty robust, but hopefully not too long agenda for today. John, do you want to add anything?
Just good morning.
Yeah, it is a nice morning actually today. So, all right. So let's jump into it. We all know our telecommunication procedures for these meetings. And I think it's fair to say that folks are feel comfortable with doing these meetings via Zoom as opposed to in person. And we had thought about maybe doing something for the full committee, the full ACIR, I should say, in as a hybrid at some point in the future, but not certainly not before the end of the legislative session, which typically requires a lot of is where committee rooms and other things are being used. So maybe we'll wait until we'll make that decision after the session's over. So we do have draft minutes from last month's meeting of the subcommittee from March 28th, as well as Bruce worked quickly to produce the minutes of the full ACIR meeting on April 14th. I don't know if there's anyone who has any thoughts or comments on those. And if not, we'll move on to the LGF initiative item on our agenda. And first up on in terms of bullet points is a conversation that we began at the very end of the monthly ACIR meeting. It wasn't last week, it was 10 days ago on the 14th. Regarding the IIJA local match, that is our agenda item. This is an area that I'm not as familiar, but it is particularly relevant for those of you who are COG directors in particular. And I'll actually hand this over to John to sort of explain it for those who maybe not as aware of the issue, and then we can talk a little bit about what the plan would be for ACIR playing a role in initiating a discussion about that. So, John?
Thank you. I guess it's pretty straightforward in that the so-called Infrastructure Act from the federal government has, you know, billions of dollars available and hundreds of millions of dollars available here to towns and cities in the state of Connecticut. And with few exceptions, it carries with it a 20% match from the applicant, whether it be a town, city, or the state. I know for my towns, and I think it's similar across the state, making that match is a heavy lift, if not impossible. Maybe a few that you can pull off, but we're missing opportunities. Apparently, although I haven't confirmed it, the state of Massachusetts has made a policy decision to provide the match for all of their municipalities, so that they can fully leverage all this federal money that's coming through. And I guess the concern is that we will leave literally hundreds of millions of dollars and all of the value added that brings to the economy for, you know, in terms of jobs and et cetera of these projects. And we have, you know, a short time left in the legislative session. And the idea was to convene a meeting with some of the key policymakers in the governor's office to see if it's possible to do something with this year's budget to make funds available to towns and cities so that we can maximize the IIJA opportunities. I'll ask Matt if he has something to add to that, because I know he's fluent in this as well.
Thank you, John. I'm happy to do that. I've got a little bit of an update. So I recently attended the webinar that CT Built held on the Safe Streets for All notice of funding opportunity. And Safe Streets for All is one of the more viable opportunities for Connecticut municipalities, for those of you who aren't familiar with it. And, you know, I raised this question directly, or the issue directly. And Commissioner Boughton, who was hosting the meeting, you know, he replied that they're certainly very aware of it. They're certainly very aware of it. You know, the governor right now is not supportive of a specific appropriation to help fund the local match. The commissioner is hoping to be able to make the case in the future. And, you know, we think that this next round, the response to this next round of funding will be informative, particularly the Safe Streets for All initiative. So depending on how many towns actually prepare applications, or the extent to which towns pass up on the opportunity, you know, the response rate will be informative for the commissioner to utilize in his conversations with the administration and the legislature.
Yeah,
so that's one factor there. And then secondly, also under the auspices of CT Built, trying to get creative around other means to satisfy the non-federal match. For example, could we utilize other state grants to help qualify? Now, LOTSIP being a prime example. There may be others too. So fortunately, Commissioner Boughton is well aware of it, you know, and he's trying to make the case for state support to assist with the local match.
I guess one of my major concerns with, it's great that he's got the concern, but you've got not that many weeks left in this legislative session, and barring action during a special session, now we're going into a short session in 24.
Right.
So we're looking at May of 24 before perhaps final action would be taken on some type of measure, and how many programs slip away in the meantime.
No, fair point. So this is the second year of the five-year program of the bipartisan infrastructure law. So we should have three rounds left.
Right.
With that, what we just to report on this, we did at the ACIR meeting conclude that we should have a meeting sooner than later, just a planning and informational meeting among ourselves. Members of ACIR, along with other invite folks that folks may feel comfortable inviting, to begin a conversation about a strategy around this. So we have scheduled that for this Friday, the 28th. Initially, we were thinking of keeping it at 10:30, which is our usual morning start time for our meetings. But I know John has a conflict, so I sent out an email to the relevant ACIR member. Every member of ACIR is relevant, but those who are particularly impacted by this, to give them a heads up to clear their calendars, hopefully for Friday. John, are you, before I sent that out, that a Zoom invite out, which I'll do on my, through my account, are you okay with the idea of this being an 11:30 meeting, which would give you a little more time?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Because I do have our monthly COG meeting is earlier in the morning. And
yeah,
it's a little tight.
Yeah, understood. Okay, so we'll do it 11:30, and I'll send that out to folks. And for anybody on this meeting who's interested in joining, I'm sending it out to a relatively limited universe of invitees. I think Bruce appropriately was feeling a little bit, you know, like this should not necessarily be something because of its budgetary implications. Maybe this is something, not something that he might administer as far as organizing the meeting. And I didn't want, I don't know. I mean, I didn't, my initial thought was let's just focus on the people who had a particular interest in this topic and invite them. And then if others are interested or others are thought of as needing to be there to, you know, welcome further invitations. But John, do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, for as far as the meeting goes, I appreciate you asking folks to do it later. I think that would work out well. I just had a thought, and while it's still in my head, to pick up off of something that Matt said, that it's probably, if the administration has made the indication that they're not supportive of new monies for the match, perhaps some legislation that would make Town Aid Road and you know, the variety of things that are available to towns now eligible for the match, and sunset that at the end of the IIJA, so that towns could be creative with those monies and there would not be a guesswork. So there wouldn't be any new funds, but if any given community wishes to use those funds that are already appropriated to them for the match, that it would be crystal clear that it was, it had the blessing of the state, and then sunset it out at the end of the, you know, in 3 years. And
right.
Nobody has to
yeah.
put up any new money. I mean, I've just thought of that as maybe that's a way to, you know, take away some of the uncertainty of can you use one of those grant avenues that are available locally for this purpose to leverage more federal money.
Yeah, maybe. And that's obviously a conversation for Friday. But yeah, I mean, that seems to make sense as well, although it would be. It seems to me, just my two cents, it would be appropriate for there to be a bond authorization.
Yeah.
That is all that the legislature needs to do before the end of session is authorize a certain amount of money for bonding, where it's then obviously subject to the governor's call as to whether it makes it to the bond commission agenda and so on. But versus your suggestion, John, which is a little more simple, but also may tie up some other funds that towns are counting on. Anyway, that's a strategy question I think we can be raising on Friday. Yeah, Matt.
I like both of those ideas. And then just in terms of an overall strategy and being mindful of relationships, I would approach it. How can we help CT Built make the case? And what creative suggestions can we offer them? You know, and in terms of making the case, I think at the COG level, certainly tracking the data as best we can. You know, what do we have for applications coming out of our region? What knowledge do we have of potential projects, you know, that towns are passing up because the local match is a barrier? You know, we have informed CROG towns if they have a good application, but the match is a challenge, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want that information. We want that data. I also think we should discuss today whether or not it would be helpful to invite CT Built for Friday. I have no idea if they're available.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna expose my ignorance, Matt, by asking what exactly is CT Build?
So it's a small office. The governor appointed the commissioner to serve as the state's point person on the BIL. And he has two full-time people. The deputy is Stephen Nocera, who has worked in municipal government in Fairfield County, I believe. And then they have a handful of fellows as well that are durational employees.
And CT Build is under what department? Under DOT or is it?
No, they're independent. They're independent. I'm not sure they actually fall under. I don't think they fall under a larger state department.
I see.
Okay. And the commissioner has this dual role.
The commissioner of revenue services?
Commissioner Boughton.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
DRS. Yes.
Right.
There is also, and it's less we can do about this issue, is some of these programs have minimum levels of application that make them prohibitive right off the reel for small, medium-sized communities to even think about. That's probably nothing we need to talk about on Friday, but
yeah,
you know, but it is problematic for most of my towns.
Sure. Okay. So your question though, Matt, is maybe we should think about inviting someone from CT Build to attend.
Yes.
I don't care either way, but were we thinking of it being Friday being a strategy meeting among the recipients as to how to go about approaching the administration? Or do you think that that's unnecessary?
Well, I know they could certainly bring something to the conversation. I just put a link to their site in the chat. And again, I have no idea if they'd be available for Friday.
Yeah. Well, could I put it on either you or John or someone else to reach out? I mean, because we did indicate, you know, let's invite our core folks within ACIR to this meeting. I don't think we really have to worry about FOI kinds of issues with this, because this is more of a, we're not actually, we're keeping it open to anybody who we're just facilitating a conversation. Right. It's not right. Really a meeting. So, so if there are others, you know, who are relevant to the discussion, who you think we should invite, yeah, have at it. I'll send it out to the folks within ACIR this morning, but then if others want to invite others to join,
okay,
by all means.
All right. I'd be happy to forward that to them.
Yeah, John, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Right.
John, do you have any concerns?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Getting them into the conversation is probably more productive than not.
Yeah, and sooner than later too.
Yes.
Sounds like
it. No, time is not on our side, as they say.
Well, John cannot go through a meeting without quoting Mick Jagger somewhere along the line. So I appreciate that, John. So, okay, good. We'll do that. Next bullet point for this morning's meeting was about the property tax restructuring report. As I reported at the full ACIR meeting, we are at least tentatively in agreement with the House chairs of Planning and Development and Education, that they would be willing to host an informational forum sometime between now and the end of session on a session day at which we can present our findings on the report, but then also voice our own support for legislative efforts that are consistent with what we're proposing. And specifically, that involves SB 1 and the funding that's being and the House corollary, which is the proposing changes and increased funding for ECS and so on. But really, the emphasis on our report is about property taxes being the, you know, the problem. And there we had a somewhat robust conversation at our ACIR meeting on the 14th, at which we, you know, I think we talked about the fact that the current initiatives for property tax reductions coming from the governor and now from the legislature are focused more on the income tax, that I hate to see us losing focus on the importance of working on and recognizing the role the property tax plays in most people's lives in Connecticut, and is, you know, as the largest single tax that we impose on Connecticut residents, and what it does to our economy in terms of our economic equity across towns and cities and so on. So a lot of the stuff that's coming out of the legislature this year that's being proposed in terms of increased funding is consistent with our report, but we should try to maybe, at least for this year, cast ourselves in that lot as a part of our report and our emphasis on property tax. We're trying to pick a session day, sometime in the next few weeks before things get really heavy in the legislature for that informational forum. We also heard from the State and School Finance Project, who is the primary proponent of the increased ECS allocations and has been really the primary advocate for that. And they, as well as others, have agreed to participate in our conversation and our informational forum when we have that. And we can then in turn correspond with them as well and provide some mutual support for the initiatives, our respective initiatives. To be determined when that day will be, but I'll keep you updated when I hear more from the chairs going forward. So I don't know if there are any other updates involved with that, but that's where that stands at this point. Okay, and if not, then the other item bullet point we have under this category is just the recap of our own objectives going forward. I think that there are some suggestions about other things we can be doing. Actually, some of that's actually covered in our future topics item on our agenda, but John, I don't know if you wanted to, you know, I think you had some thoughts about perhaps where LGF can go. I don't know if we want to just fold that into item 4 on our agenda and go from there.
Well, I think it would be beneficial to, maybe we can use the website for ACIR as well, as to is to, I guess, more clearly articulate what exactly it is and what we are trying to accomplish. We haven't really had a meeting of the where we've had the full complement of members, and there have been new members added to ACIR that may or may not be, you know, fully aware of or in sync with the Local Government of the Future initiative. So I think there is a need to do some basic training and outreach, and just like, for instance, we really don't have on the ACIR site any explanation of what we're trying to do. What are our goals and objectives, sort of some basic stuff, that type of thing. To really have a meeting of the full ACIR to see what is the larger complement of the members, what do they see some of the issues going forward? We've sort of narrowed it down to a few, but I think there's more, but we haven't really had that larger discussion. And I think that's, given the changeover and the new additions, that would be one step I'd suggest we might want to look at doing.
Yeah.
And also with the change in the leadership and the membership of planning and development, which is sort of our home base at the legislature, the chairs and the ranking members, I don't think are, I know you've had discussions with them, but they really haven't been like their predecessors had interactions with the full ACIR, and as Senator Cassano did, and Representative McCarthy Vahey and others, and Jason right. Rojas. So I guess that's some of that, and maybe, you know, it's not, I hope it's not one step backwards, but I think it's needed.
Yeah, and I think maybe we can put an agenda item on our next meeting for just that purpose. Yeah, Matt?
I like that idea. To supplement it, you know, perhaps we could send out a survey in advance, maybe even through SurveyMonkey or something like that, to the full ACIR membership. You know, what topics or priorities might you suggest for the commission? And then we could aggregate it in advance of the discussion. You know, that might facilitate a more productive discussion, as opposed to, you know, showing up and then people are thinking about it for the first time.
Yeah, good point.
On the floor of the meeting.
Good point.
We had the 2020 report. We have their property tax report, which has a lot of good you can pull out of that a very good list of goals and objectives that fit right into the LGF that are just natural for it. And but we haven't done that, I guess. And I think we need to define what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, and initially the thinking was when we first created the subcommittee was that there was a moment available to us as a result of COVID that, you know, we were recognizing that there was a reimagination of what local government can and should be doing and how we might facilitate, you know, maintaining some of those more innovative and changing realities of what local governments and can and should be doing. And we, you know, so, and what it should look like going forward. So we did spend a lot of time, I think, in that context. One, you know, because we were mandated by the legislature to look at the notion of meetings and hybrid meetings, and what role they should be playing. But then, you know, that then led also to the property tax discussion as well, and some other efforts. But yeah, it may be time to recalibrate a little bit what the expectations of that subcommittee are. And so, Bruce, maybe if I could ask you if you can remember that when you send we send the reminder out about and the link to the full committee meeting, commission meeting for next month, maybe we can also add to that some type of, you know, request that members think about what Matt was just describing. You know what we want to have, and we're going to dedicate a little bit of time to the LGF initiative, and understand, you know, so we can maybe do that kind of recalibration and kind of get people's ideas about where that, like, where to come from, to John's point, explaining where it came from initially, but then where do we want to go going forward and what other topics do we want to start taking on in that context?
And I think, you know, to follow up with Matt, a survey in advance of the meeting, I'd be happy to work on that with Matt or whoever, so we have that for that meeting to say, here's where the members think, and we can kind of more better articulate some of the ideas that we've had and the ones that, you know, for the future, rather than, as I would agree with Matt, rather than going just into a meeting cold and
right,
12 out of the 24 members and we haven't heard from people and they have some ideas and that kind of thing.
Right.
And make it a more productive, discussion.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In terms of future discussions, and this relates to the property tax, I think I've said it a number of times, but the last three people that I, and so it's right on my mind, the last three people that I spoke to regarding our effort towards reducing the property tax, I've started out by saying, basically a couple of sentences of what we're about. And each one of them immediately asked, well, what are you going to replace the property tax with? And so I think that we're leaving half of this work on the table, so to speak, that going forward in the next year, we should be looking at, well, so many millions of dollars are going to be reduced in the property tax effort. Where's the replacement coming from? Because that seems to be what everybody wants to know. And I don't think we can make much progress just by hoping that someone else will come up with figuring out how to replace those dollars.
Yeah.
So that's basically where I'm at. I try to be a real optimist about this, but I think we'll be fortunate if we can make good headway in the next year or 2 years. I think it's a long-term process, and it there's a whole lot of people involved who have to be made aware of what we've learned.
Right.
So that's it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point, Jim, because, and not to belabor the point, but I think I'm what I'm seeing evolving right now is that we are the only ones, ACIR that is, are the only ones who are actually talking about the property tax, it seems to me. I mean, that's the thing that has sort of kind of caught me a little bit by surprise over the course of the last 6 months or so, that, a year ago, 9 months ago, we were being encouraged to really look seriously at this and make some suggestions at Commissioner Boughton's urging and others, look into it, come up with some thoughts, come up with some recommendations. And then not so much, it didn't really catch hold when we did that. Now, that might be because, we're kind of the mouse that roars a little bit and may not be getting the attention of a lot of folks as much as we would like. But maybe it's also your point, Jim, which is it's one thing to propose significant change, but it's another thing to propose the change and, you know, and also have an idea of where, how to implement the change. You know, to your point, where the money comes from, is it all about just raising revenue from other sources, or is it about efficiencies that could be realized? What's the mix of these two? We didn't go deep into that evaluation in our report. And maybe that's another step that we should be engaging in a little bit more deeply to be not just proposing ideas and priorities, but also to be talking about a path of how to get there, financially speaking. So yeah, I agree. I think that's you know, that's another piece of what maybe that's a role that we really do need to play. So
and just, you know, a little further on that, I'd mentioned probably a year or two ago, well, actually more than that, because we were meeting at the Capitol back then. I'd mentioned the need to develop what I would kind of call an algorithm that would be a step-by-step process that would delineate how you would go about developing the idea and bringing it to fruition each step along the way, and you know, what groups you would have to go to, what obstacles you would hit where, and then what you would do to overcome those obstacles. But you need to have a pretty clear picture, and it will never be perfect, but at least a fair picture of what all the steps are and what all the obstacles are, because surely with this, there's tremendous obstacles.
Sure. Yeah, and this is, it sounds also to me like your other mantra is about getting help, you know. I think, you know, to do that, I think we need to partner up with someone who's got the bandwidth to, you know, whether it's UConn or some other entity that can do a little bit longer term haul on where, you know, on what that strategy would look like.
Yeah, so somebody's going to have to be, you know, at each of these pieces, somebody's going to have to be looking at, well, what are alternatives for, you know, where can we save someone? We've already discussed some areas, and further areas can be researched and developed, but that takes bandwidth to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, when I recommend the bandwidth, I'm not being at all critical of you or John or all of the others who really put your heart into and a lot of work into this. It's just that, you know, unless we have several full-time people working on this, it's not going to move ahead.
Right.
You know,
right. You know, truthfully, as the older I get, the busier I get, I'm finding. So,
yeah.
So I don't have that bandwidth myself. So.
I mean, we did not include in the report, you know, how to pay for it, which is critical. And you need somewhere in the range of $1.5 billion annually of revenue that is not being used for such reform. Most of it, you know, looks at education and all. And, you know, it's at some level, it's pretty simple. You have the income tax, you have the sales tax, you have, there is, despite the rhetoric, there is really no way to cut that kind of money out of the budget. That just is, that's not a logical start. Or you look at what you know, and I don't think you can get all of this from there, but there's estimates that there's over $1 billion that we don't collect in taxes through sure. revenue services because they don't have the bandwidth over there.
Right.
So there's a few areas there that none of which, you know, politically are very easy.
Yeah,
right.
You can even get a discussion of.
Yeah, right.
So you know, that's sort of where you stall on this stuff. It's not that you can't figure out where, you know, how much it costs to do it or what the options are, because there's only a few that can get into that kind of money area. And, you know, I know we looked at it with the property tax report that I did with 1,000 friends, and some of the, and we did lean on some of the, this very extensive report that the governor and the legislature commissioned that found different cost savings throughout state government. But is there the political will to act on those? And I guess I would argue partially.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
at best. With but that's not really an AC, you know, at best ACIR could list the options. And yeah, it's up to the political folks to have with the will to do something.
But you know, when you right away when you say, well, $1 billion or you know, more than $1 billion, that sort of blows the thing right there with regard to a whole lot of people. But if you were to have a better strategy where you said, well, this is a 5-year plan or this is a 10-year plan, and that's what really we've been talking about. So in order to implement this, you don't need the $1 billion right off the shelf. You just need the commitment to get to the $1 billion somewhere out in the future. And you can get there by these various means. It's better than leaving it. It's better to spell out something and then let people make changes to that. If they, you know, if you say, well, some from the income tax and some from the sales tax, some from.
I would argue that property tax reform is on the order of, in order to get it, you need to do something as was done in 1991, where you have the radical change, you have the full disruption of the system with the income tax. If you try to phase it in, it's death by 1,000 blows every time you get a 2-year cycle. I don't know. I may be just a little pessimistic on that.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you know,
it's a big, I know, I get it. There's a bigger conversation.
But I think that, you know, where we can come into play is that there are, and this is, I think where we're going a lot with it, with the LGF is on the shared and regional services and the delivery of services, perhaps through the COGS and the rest that the state now does. And some of those pieces can ease the burden locally and provide better services than what we are doing now at a more efficient cost. So I think that's where we can be, I think, very effective is facilitating those discussions, these grander ones of let's, you know, raise the income tax on, you know, people. That's in a different zip code. But I think this fostering of the regional discussion and the shared discussion that, you know, we haven't had a regional school since 1987. That's something we ought to be working on to say, you know, why is it, something's failing on that? And there truly should be savings doing that, but it's a broken system.
Right. Right.
Anyways.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. And I think ACIR is uniquely positioned to be leading that discussion. And, you know, we just have to define it. You know, you've already offered up the invitation to COGS and RESCs to collaborate. I think, John, that's a, you know, that's right in that wheelhouse. And that's precisely the kind of thing that ACIR should be doing. Looking into why, bringing people together to have this conversation and then have a grander vision of what's possible and keep pushing on it, because like I said, my biggest problem is the fact that people have forgotten that the property tax is the problem that it is. You know, I'm not sure why that has happened, but
Well, especially when you have a legislature and a governor who are pushing housing.
Right.
Housing reform. If property tax is in part and parcel of that, something is missing a big piece of the puzzle.
You bet.
You know, you bet. That's, I don't know.
Yep.
Somebody.
All right. So let's move on then to the item four in our agenda, which is the first item under number four was the town of Chester governance study committee report. You know, I find it interesting that Chester did that analysis. And I don't know if, but I don't know if folks feel like we want to hear from them maybe, or have a more robust conversation about it, or what do we want to do with it exactly?
I think given that that was apparently done without a consultant on their own is a remarkable piece of work. And the process that they went through, I'd be interested for them to come in and perhaps give the same presentation, their PowerPoint that they have online to ACIR, and just more discuss the process they went through as a community to sort of do that self-evaluation. Not every town's going to have that type of expertise. That is a similar type of thing we have done for, I guess, about half a dozen of our communities over time, this sort of audit of functions and so forth, which I think is a useful tool.
Right. Well, actually, you know, that also, as we're talking about it, I think it might also be sorry, I'm trying to get this thing to stop making these annoying noises. You know, we also had talked about inviting Tom Condon to ACIR to talk about his reporting on merging municipalities and what he found in that in doing that. He's very open to coming, and maybe we could combine the two. I mean, maybe it's the kind of thing where we could hear from Chester and also from Tom, you know, because they're of a piece, if you will, you know, with regard to, you know, what do we need to do at the municipal level? What do we not necessarily need to do at the municipal level? And what could, you know, perhaps could we be thinking about consolidating or merging as an option? You know, it's the same conversation in essence, and maybe it would be a good idea to kind of set that aside as an agenda item for the full group.
Yeah, and I could also volunteer or see if he would do it. One of the subjects of his piece was three towns in my region, and especially one of the first selectmen from Scotland, who's been fairly outspoken about that, Gary Greenberg, and he might be interesting just to get a perspective of a town of 1,600 residents with essentially no commercial base trying to survive in 2023.
Right. Well, yeah, so that might be another agenda item for maybe not the May meeting, because we're kind of coming up on that, but maybe the meeting right after for our June meeting. As I say, Tom had a conflict when I asked him to arrive at our last meeting, but he's open to doing that. And so if I don't know who knows the folks at Chester to see if they might be willing to come to our, say, June meeting. I don't happen to know anybody there, but
I think maybe Martin does.
Yeah, I'm sure folks at our friends at OPM might be able to do that. So
Sam Gold.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Matt, did you have another point you want to make?
Yeah. An aside that is related. We've never had more interest in Connecticut in professional local government administration, which I think is great. You know, we've got many towns, including small towns, that either have converted to council manager or are considering a town administrator or an equivalent position. So we've never had more interest, but unfortunately, we're really suffering for candidates. And it's quite a conundrum. You know, part of that is we don't have the pipeline we once had. You know, we've eliminated so many assistant manager positions across the state due to budgetary pressures over the years. There are a variety of factors behind it, but maybe there's a role for ACIR in all of that as we think about the local government for the future initiative. You know, the workforce development pipeline here in our state for the public sector,
yeah,
with an emphasis on local government in part. So I just want to mention that because I am often contacted by executive search firms looking for suggestions on candidates.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely an LGF issue. You know, how is local government in the future going to survive without competent professional help? It also then folds in the whole question of, you know, portable benefits and, you know, enabling people to kind of move from town to town without the, you know, restrictions and benefits that they would otherwise face if they're not part of MIRA. So, yeah, that makes sense. And then the other bullet item we have there just too is about the COG and RESC discussion. And we talked about it briefly, John, but maybe you could just, you did send out an invitation, I think, yesterday.
Sent out an invitation yesterday to the COG directors and the RESC directors. Have heard back already from all of those directors.
I was CC'd on those, yeah, yeah.
with solid enthusiasm, and heard from probably half of the COGs. But and then I've asked talked with the chair of CTCOG and the RESC Alliance to assist in with their membership and themselves with the formation of the agenda. When we get to that, we don't have a date yet for this. So there seems to be some genuine enthusiasm about getting together, and hopefully we'll get I'm confident we'll get a good agenda and get a good start to hopefully what will be a ongoing forum for fostering, you know, regionalism and shared services and coordination between the two, education, yeah, and general government.
Yeah, good work with that. I think it was. You often refer to the Scott Jackson meeting that happened back in the day, and
it was
lamenting the fact that it has not been sustained. Yeah,
no, it was January 31st, 2016, and I remember talking with him going on the parking lot afterwards, and you know, saying, "Well, a great meeting. We'll have to, you know, wait for the next one," and later that day, the announcement came down that he was going to be Revenue Services Commissioner, and he started on Monday.
Yeah.
That was the last time we had any discussion.
I hear the trombone in the back going, wah, wah, you know.
So we may have to invite Scott to speak at this thing.
There you go. That's a great idea.
Come back and revive his vision of the thing, but
yeah okay, so good work with that, and you know, we'll keep everybody abreast of that as that gets moving. Our next meetings are this Friday regarding IIJA, and then our next full ACIR meeting is on May 5th, and then our next subcommittee meeting will be May 23rd. If I can sort of recap a couple of assignments from today, I will get the invite out to this Friday's meeting out of my Zoom account, but Matt, you may want to forward that on to CT Build. And if anyone else has anyone that they would think could be invited or should be invited to that, have at it. I think we want to reach out to OPM on the town of Chester and see if we can get a contact, Christine or Martin, if you guys have a contact that we might be able to. Thank you. Yeah, that'd be great. And I'll call Tom Condon again and see if I can lock him in for the June ACIR meeting. And then I'll let you know what's happening with regard to the informational forum at the legislature on the restructuring report. And last assignment was about the survey ahead of the next ACIR meeting about where folks want LGF to go. I think, John, you have access to a pretty kind of robust survey software kind of thing. Don't you? Do you have?
Yeah. I forget which one we use, but we have it.
Yeah. I found one for my private work, which I find very easy to use as well. I can see if we can adapt it perhaps to what we're talking about here, but if you have something on your side that you think we can just use for a few simple questions to get people's opinions about stuff, that we can just go with that. All right.
I think, you know, however we do it would be beneficial, because I just have a sort of concern in the back of my head that if I pointed at anybody around the table, if we had all 24 members and said, what's LGF? And
yeah, there's
going to be folks who don't know what I'm talking about.
Or yeah. Can't answer
the question.
Yeah, so that's question number one. Do you know what LGF is? See what how people respond.
Or maybe we put that up front. You know, John, I'm happy to work with you on that.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we need to elevate the understanding of what we know what, I guess, what we're talking about, but it needs to be more understood.
Right. Okay, good. All right, guys. Well, thank you all for
thank you.
Good discussion this morning. Jim, did you have a?
Just very quickly, we had a discussion a few months ago about bylaws and attendance and that sort of thing. And I think the basic bottom line was that we were going to look into that and see if there was a way for us to have some sort of, might say, membership expectations or bylaw rules. Seems like that would be helpful. Perhaps that's another thing we could work on. Because as it relates to the discussion that we're having right now, there's a significant number of ACIR members who haven't attended probably any of these meetings.
Yeah, thank you for raising that, Jim. Yeah, you're right. And we did have that conversation. And I think we determined that we don't have bylaws, but we could. I think if we chose to. I think the one difficulty that we also uncovered, though, is that if we have members who are appointed by certain appointing authorities, do we have the ability to say as a group, sorry, Senator XYZ, you know, your appointee hasn't shown up, so therefore we're kicking them off. Please reappoint somebody or something like, you know, that's where it got a little bit sticky, but yeah, we should rekindle that discussion. I'm marking it down on my to-do list to rekindle that. Yeah. And John?
I just had two quick things on that first one. I don't think you, unless we change a statute, which might be a discussion for the next legislative session, I don't think you can do anything with it, because you're not authorized to do bylaws. You're not authorized to remove people for not showing up.
I thought we, okay. Yeah. All right.
But anyways,
yeah.
But I'll leave that. You're the attorney, so.
Last I checked.
The other was a quick question to you is, did you get my property, that one property I sent you?
Oh, yes, I did. Thanks. Yeah, we can talk about that offline, but I did get it. Thank you. I think it's going to be, we're still discussing all that among ourselves. So, but thanks for that. I'll catch up with you.
About I have that a couple time. Of others, but that was the best one.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right, folks, thanks very much. And we've got a little bit of work to do. So, but if I don't see you on at Friday's meeting, I'll see you on the 5th for the full ACIR. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all.